Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
We're bringing you Clippers news 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
You're damn right.
If you're listening to this on Monday, which I assume you are, happy 420.
Happy 420. Hope everyone's having a good day.
So we're going to be kicking things off today with some best moments of the season. We're looking at best series of the year today.
Yeah.
Two really jump out, obviously, Lakers. And then the Boston Celtics series have been really exciting to watch.
Yeah. Man, I miss those series right now.
So we're going to be breaking down some key moments as well as some stat lines from those. And then, as we said at the top of the show, happy 420. We're going to talk about some 420 club meetings, which if you're newer to the show is just, you know, our four guys are pretty much – we got four guys pretty much good for 20.
Or so we thought, yeah.
It's pretty close. I would say close enough to still call it a success. But we're going to be talking about the reality of that pipe dream.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings. There's an interesting that the doc assistant coach thing,
which donation thing with NBA help. Yeah, it seems like it could be a fun time.
Yeah,
for whoever gets that,
you get to draw up an inbounds, right?
I think so. You get to draw up a couple ATOs. Yeah.
So. All that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so this week we are doing a kind of best moments of the season look.
Yeah.
Today, best series of the year.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, we're going to be doing best scoring performances of the year. And Friday is a big look at the most important weekend of the Clippers season, Grizzlies-Knicks.
The nooner doubleheader.
It kicked off a lot of stuff in terms of team chemistry in the press.
Yeah, it started a whole new storyline.
Did PG come back too fast? A lot of stuff. Trez helped his cause. It was huge. Anyway, but we're looking at the best series of the year. And like you said off top, like there's really, thankfully, looking at the Lakers series is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For the most part. And then that Boston series, are you surprised at how, I guess, good both of those games have been?
I mean, both went to overtime.
Yeah.
They were really exciting games to watch. I feel like we're going to always, at least to me, I feel like Boston is turning into one of those weird, like, little wrinkles that's kind of maybe intertwined with the Clips.
Yeah.
Obviously, just given the largest comeback and then.
For sure.
I don't know. I just feel like we have some – there's some extra vigor in some of those.
It's interesting. It's like a weird kind of – not really a rivalry, but it's like – it almost feels kind of like the – granted, we won't see him as much in the playoffs, but it feels like the same thing with, like, the Memphis. Like, the type when the guys used to play the Grizzlies. It's the
for
same,
sure.
Like, we want to beat these guys.
Yeah, and then, like, picking up Morris at the deadline, I feel like maybe even piled on little bit more.
That's a good call.
To that.
Should we talk about the Boston series or the Lakers series?
Let's close with the Lakers series.
All right, for sure.
Like, I mean, that's probably the, I don't know, the
it's most pertinent.
In the cap.
Yeah,
yeah,
the feather
pertinent.
In the cap, for sure.
So we went 1-1 in this series throughout the Celtics. So you have some thoughts about if this was to be a possible finals matchup.
Yeah.
You really like that.
For a neutral fan, like, this would be the best possible finals matchup. It's like two teams who are kind of looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
We don't have, like, the offensive firepower from the guard position for a starter,
mm-hmm.
as they do.
But we but
like,
Lou Will had 30-plus in both these games.
We have everything else.
Yeah.
Like, everything else we match up with or are better than they are. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's not possible for this to be a finals matchup, mostly because
– The Bucks?
The Bucks. Like, for the Clippers, obviously we're going to get to the finals. But for the Celtics, it's like, dude, the Bucks are just getting a bunch of rest right now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty scary. So the first meeting was back in November. We won this one 103-107. As I said, that one did go to overtime.
Yes, it
did.
At home. This was a fantastic game.
Fantastic game all the way through. Just some stat lines for you. So Lou Will had 27-2-2 in this one. In both of these, he's had fourth quarters, which have, like, I mean, more or less defined the game.
Yeah. They've been these are, like, peak Lou Will games.
Very, very clutch games. Paul George had 25-5-8. This was, like, one of his all-around really great performances.
Yeah.
There's only really one nag on it, which we'll talk about it in a sec. Kawhi 17-6-3. You know, still great. Maybe
this was the game-winning block too, right? Against Kemba,
yeah.
Where he blocked it and then decided to walk to the locker room
and then just left. Patrick Beverley almost had a triple double in this one, which is a nice little standout.
Huge in this game,
absolutely huge. He hit some really timely threes at the end of this one. I think he hit. I don't know. He hit a couple in the
him
the
and
end
Smart
of that
were
level.
Going back and forth.
Yeah, but Pat Bev finished this one with 14-6, 16-7. As I said, just huge game. And Jermichael had 10-8. And also, a guy who might get lost in Clippers lore, but Mo Harkless had a great defensive performance in this game.
Yeah, Doc talked about him post-game.
It wasn't the start of, like, we knew that coming to the team, Mo was going to be highly switchable on defense. This was where we saw the start of the conversation, I feel like, more of Harkless guarding ones.
This is where we also got, yeah, anytime this was the beginning
of a narrative
this was the Doc-ism where he was like,
yes.
He kept telling us that he could guard 1 through 5. I said, I don't want you to do that. Then we saw him do it. And we said, maybe he should do that. He said that like 4 days in a row.
Yeah. So that was a popular storyline. So shout out Mo Harkless in this one. But, I mean, Tatum has been a problem for us in both of these. Yes. He had 30 in this one. I think he had almost 40 in that loss. In the double OT, but this is where it intersects with the one nag in Paul George's performance. He got dropped.
He got dropped.
This
looked like a foul though, too, from my perspective, from where I saw it.
You know what? There might have been some extra inertia.
Yeah, there was some extra contact there.
This
was an insane game.
Yeah,
the Bev and Smart duel is one of the underrated duels of the year.
Yeah,
it like didn't like. Because they're kind of in the same vein of intensity and that kind of thing.
For sure.
And there was some trash talk from these two guys. These games have an edge.
Yeah.
And it's a competitive edge. It's
definitely.
Not a petty edge.
Definitely. Kemba was definitely bigger in this one. But, yeah, like, we have trouble guarding Tatum. Or at least we have thus far.
Which is at least a good thing because before the break, Tatum was like, oof. Tatum was giving everybody problems.
So, yeah, as I said, we ended up with the dub in this OT win, 103-107, and then we wouldn't see him again until February.
This one sucked.
This game is definitely polarizing for fans because this was a hard loss for sure.
This was it matters, but it doesn't matter. Who cares about a loss in February?
This is one of the few, I think we say encouraging loss a lot more in the moment than we really mean. This one would be one of the few.
People were really
encouraging.
Yeah.
If you wanted to tally those down, I would say two of the encouraging, I'm doing quotes, losses this season have come in both of these series, which we'll touch on later.
Yeah.
But we lost double overtime thriller, 131-140.
Really shit the bed in that second overtime.
In Boston, it was that second overtime was a bummer. But this was an interesting one in that there was no Patrick Beverley. Paul George hurt his hamstring, played just 14 minutes. This was going into the All-Star break and very worrisome.
Yeah, that was not tight.
But Kawhi came through. He had 28-11-4. This was another matchup with him and Tatum that was great. Smart did a pretty commendable job defending Kawhi in this one. Lou Will, once again, this was a Lou Will game. He had 35, 6, and 8.
Had to.
He was so aggressive. He never stopped attacking. They had nobody who could really stay in front of him. Trez was a huge part of the comeback in this one in that like fourth quarter. He had 24, 13, and 3 throughout the game. And then Shamet, one of his better performances from the season just from a numbers perspective.
Guy loves playing Boston.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Yeah. He had 19 points. He shot 50% from 3. This was weird just because, like, as I said, Paul George was injured. There was no Patrick Beverley. So Shamet was a starting guard in this one.
Yeah.
And there was some.
This is when everyone was like, oh, wait, no, I was very wrong.
This was kind of the end of the. If you weren't already off the point Shamet train.
I hope you got off after this. I think this
might have punched your ticket.
Yeah.
This was pre-Reggie.
Oh, nice.
Did we win this one with Reggie?
I don't think so.
All right. You don't think that.
I don't think he makes up.
You don't think he can pile it on?
No, because he would have had to start again. It would have been like when he had to start his first game anyway, when he just had to start against a really good team.
Yeah.
Because it would have been no Pat Bev, right?
Yeah.
So he would have started Reggie.
And this was Morris's Clippers revenge game, kind of.
Nice.
He had 10-8-2. Yeah, I don't know. This was a tough one to lose, but at the same time, it was like
I was really honestly, I did not take this loss well. I was pretty bummed.
I don't know. I guess I might
not
have
in the grand scheme of things. I wasn't like this means we can't beat them in a series or anything like that.
I think
that.
What I said was I was bummed that the guys put in so much effort and just came up a little bit short in this
For
one.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good call.
You know, like if it wasn't double OT, I feel like it maybe would have been a little bit easier to swallow.
And it was, yeah, it was weird. It was right before the break.
And the Paul George thing and the uncertainty surrounding Bev going into the break. I mean, there's a lot. There was a lot kind of going on in this one. But so that one was, definitely one
of
my
fantastic two-game series. The best two-game series you'll probably see.
Yeah.
in a while. But, yeah, now we can dive into the Lakers-Clippers series. 2-1 on the year, of course, against the Lakers. And in terms of impact, our two wins have been great. Especially for the fan base.
Yeah.
Which has been awesome. Like, we got the win.
Opening night.
Opening night, which calmed a lot of people down.
Yes.
I think. We got the win on Christmas. Pat Bev has his most iconic moment of his career. And the loss requires Avery Bradley's best game of his last two seasons. Morris pooping his pants. And going 0-for-8 or whatever it was. There's some horrible stats from that game. We don't really talk about that game a lot because it was such an outlier.
Yeah.
So many bad things had to happen for that to game. But with opening night, it's funny, this series has the biggest opening night in Clippers history and the biggest Christmas Day game in Clippers history.
Oh, 100%.
Opening night, we were down 11.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes into the game. Immediately.
And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if other people were as well, but I think we were kind of saying, you know, if they're going to punch us in the mouth, it'd probably be this first game.
Yeah, they were
going to
come at us. Like, we were on the Hoops and Brews podcast, and I said that we were going to lose. And then people were like, oh, then you changed your mind. I was like, yeah, the next day I woke up and I changed my mind. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, Chuck's a flip-flopper.
I'm absolutely a flip-flopper. To answer that, we had a Lou Trez bench magic kind of got us back into the game. And then except for kind of a blip in the third, we were in control.
Yeah.
Kawhi had 36-5 with only 1 3-pointer.
Yeah, this.
And a steal.
Yeah. This started a couple of 3-point shooting games at the beginning there that we were like, oh, man, this is.
Hope this gets better.
Hope this improves.
Yeah. Bev had a perfect Bev stat line. He was plus 13 and he had 2 points. 10 rebounds, 6 assists. That's what you need.
Plus 13.
Lou and Trez combined for 38. Trez had 7 boards and 4 dimes, which I think kind of goes under the radar in this game.
Yeah.
And Lou had 5 boards and 7 assists. The whole team shot 52%. Like, we weren't bothered by the Lakers' size. We were missing Paul George. It was, you know, obvious. Grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. But it's a lot easier to say that after you win.
Yeah.
It felt great.
Yeah. Anthony Davis also struggled anywhere else further out from the basket, too.
Yeah.
Which I think was a little bit reassuring as I feel like the narrative was like, yeah, but who's going to guard?
Who's going to guard AD? And we had those questions, too.
For sure.
But, you know, we won boards in the games that we've won, that we've beat the Lakers in. It's this thing. And then when you go to Christmas Day, we win 111-106. Like I said, biggest Christmas Day game in Clippers history. Closer than 5 points. This game was tense. Was a roller. This was mostly a rough game emotionally. This is where we were down 12 at half,
mm-hmm.
and it was right after LeBron and AD.
Oh man, had
the Kevin Hart thing.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh god, this moment is like some dumbass.
This is the corniest thing. This is one of the corniest things I've seen.
Piece of the of us just getting maybe a little part of me for a second was like, this could be a rough second half. But we just kept playing our same game.
Went the opposite way.
We didn't make any adjustments, as Doc I'm sure said. I don't remember very much from this Christmas Day. We were physical.
Yeah, definitely.
We continued the physical. Patterson's getting minutes. We started Patterson in the first game.
Yes.
Which, good times. Pretty much, it was Kawhi and Bev getting everyone up to get it done.
100%.
Like, to bring everyone up.
Yeah.
Bev's block on LeBron is an all-time Christmas Day moment in the history of the NBA.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's so iconic.
It's beautiful. It's a top Clips moment, like top Clippers regular season moment, of course. Kawhi had 35, 12, and 5, 5 of 7 from 3, held LeBron to 1 of 3 shooting. Bev had 8, 9, and 4, all the energy in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For LeBron. Play of the game with the game-sealing block. Zoo and Trez were... Zoo shot 50%, which he wanted that to be a little higher.
Yeah.
But he still had 11 and 8. Trez had 18 and 6. They were just... They were throwing their bodies around.
They were
like,
very assertive.
We were fine with letting them, like, come in the paint. Like, and even if you beat us in points in the paint, which they might have in this game.
I can't remember.
It was difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
It was not easy. And then lastly, the final meeting when we lost 112 to 103. An encouraging loss.
This was, yeah.
As you mentioned, an encouraging loss. LeBron and AD lit it up, but they needed Bradley's best game ever. Kawhi and Paul George combined for 58.
Yeah.
No one else other than Trez could pick up the offensive slack.
Yeah.
This was a huge who cares game from Clippers fans. We'd won 6 in a row. Like, this one sucked, but I don't know. Like,
yeah, you're not worried about 4 of them happening.
You're not worried about 4 of them happening, and it was just so funny after this game. There was like Clipper. I can't remember what Lakers show it was. But like, this was the game they decided to like make fun of the Clippers billboards and like all this other stuff. And it was like,
oh yeah,
you guys are down 2-1. Like, and Avery Bradley was like, yeah, I was really happy to get this game under my belt. It's like, you got smoked in the other 2 games, dude.
Yeah.
You should have done that earlier.
Hey, redemption, you know, it can come at any time.
Yeah, I guess. Let us know your favorite Clippers series. I think it's got to be the Lakers one for me personally.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time in there. Coming up after this, we're talking the 420 Club for your 420 episode. But first, Will, do you like food just like in general? Have you ever had it?
I have tried it. I'm a fan. I hate
times.
Going to get it.
Especially now.
But luckily, with Postmates, I don't have to go get it anymore.
Damn right.
And the thing with Postmates is they don't just deliver burgers and sushi.
I get both of those exclusively, so what else do they deliver?
Well, what else would you want if that's all yeah, you're eating? They actually can make your life easier, though, with grocery delivery.
Oh, hell yeah.
And whatever you can think of delivery to, convenience
Ooh,
stores,
okay.
Clothing stores. Buck Mason is on there. You name it. So no more trips to the store. No more late night fast food runs. Chuck, you got to stop that.
I'm always like, oh, I need a butterfly knife right now. I just Postmate it.
I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. Just download Postmates for iOS or Android. Find your favorites. Get anything you want delivered. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA, all caps, for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app.
Yep.
Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
Okay, so happy 420. Staying inside, probably.
Yeah.
Hope you're celebrating responsibly or not celebrating if it's not your thing. Some people live every day if it's 420.
That's true.
And it's a month long. So, so we had, like, pretty lofty hopes for the 420 club.
Oh,
kind of like right when when PG came back.
Oh boy, did we ever.
And of course the 420 club would be when Paul George, Kawhi, Trez and Lou all score 20 points.
Yeah.
Something that if you looked at the averages in the beginning of December was entirely possible on a regular basis, especially in games. Like if we won, wasn't crazy to think that the 420 club was going to meet.
Not at all.
What were the averages on December 11th?
Kawhi, 25. Paul George, 24. Lou, 20. Trez, 19.
Right there. Right there.
Yep. And really, it's been just kind of the bench being right on the cusp of that 20
for sure.
An average.
Yeah.
Which I think, Is it close enough to give it to him?
But so,
I'm matching, so I'm going to say it's close enough to give it to him.
Well, I mean, if you're matching, you're still short, you know? Because sounds like that's 38. But so, and then you look at the averages at when the season went on hiatus. Kawhi up to 27 points. Paul George down to 21. Lou down to 19. Trez still at 19. This is funny because, like, the 420 Club has only met once.
Yeah.
It's only met one time, and we needed it. It was the Shake Milton game.
Yeah.
He was the 139 Club. it was a we needed it. Kawhi had 30. Lou, Trez, and Paul George all had 24. Trez also had 9 boards. Lou had 8 dimes. So it's only met once, but are we kind of – was it twice?
No, you're right.
Are we kind of happier with the current discrepancy in scoring?
Yeah, so we've talked about this. Like, what is the true necessity of Trez and Lou Will sustainably having to score 20-plus?
Yeah. And that's the thing is the average. Like, sometimes they're going to have to do it. Like, we're going to need Lou Will.
No problem.
And that Boston game, yeah, we might need 35, dude, every now and then.
But it should be a nice to have, not a necessity.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you want to see the Paul George point averages go up. I think they do from 21.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, he had to get worked back into games and had his ups and downs, which we've talked about.
Yeah. But the thing that's nice is that, you know, it's nice that it's firmly 2 starters and 2 bench guys. So it's like they all kind of can get equal time at trying to get it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, Paul George scoring more than 21 points a game doesn't necessarily cut into Lou and Trez's scoring.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
That doesn't affect their usage, really. In the playoffs, I think I don't think Lou's going to play as much in the playoffs, so I don't think the 420 Club meets as much in the playoffs.
Really? I think I'd disagree. I think it'll 100% depend on the matchup. Yeah, it's one of those situational things where you can kind of see how effective Lou Will is on a given night against a, you know, against a certain matchup.
For sure.
Like,
offensively, I'm never worried about it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that's my thing, is that I don't care offensively.
Yeah,
like,
on the other end of the floor, how many points you can really afford to hemorrhage or who you can really stop and who you can allow to
go off.
Sort of go off, who you can live with in that. So, I don't know. Trez can't possibly play any more minutes than he's currently playing, I would hope.
I don't know, man.
So I don't know if his can really go up.
And then you think about, because that also, you have to assume if Doc, again, we talked about it last week, talked about again, like, yeah, we need to go smaller at the 5.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've talked about, I feel
we've said that.
Yeah, Doc, we know. And that's going to eat into Trez, you would think. I don't think it's going to eat into Zoo. I don't know how it can. Because he can't get less time.
Less time.
Can he?
Less time.
I guess he could. He could have the Gortat minutes, the Gortat start.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, 12 minutes.
Dude, if Zoo's relegated to the Gortat start, I'd be pretty bummed.
It won't be the Gortat start, but it could go. It could dip to 12, 15 minutes. 12 minutes.
That's crazy. Yeah, I'm bummed the 420 Club didn't meet more. It got close a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, there's,
I mean, like, the averages are right there. So I don't think it was an insane goal, but it's one of those things that I guess I'm surprised given some of the PG stuff that maybe Lou Will's isn't a little higher.
Just because Paul George has been out?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm glad that it hasn't necessitated that.
For sure. Man. So there hasn't been a lot of 420 clubs, but there has been a 240 club.
Yes.
Which kind of bleeds into our Wednesday content, which is going to be the best scoring performances.
So in Minnesota, Kawhi and PG combined for 88.
A cool 88.
It was only a seven point win, but still a good time.
When Derek Walton's getting minutes.
Oh, man.
You need the – no disrespect to Derek Walton.
No. I'm saying an oh man in that. What a delight for some minutes for a two-way guy.
What a great game to get some time.
That's like one of those great little.
That's a really good call.
Little badges or merits on this season that
moments that's
was,
like
was fun to watch.
Yeah, that's a good call, man. I hope I wonder if more continuity if we would have seen the 420 Club more.
I mean, for sure, yeah.
And now with Reggie kind of opening up, Lou, depending what the situation is coming back,
mm-hmm.
if we go straight to playoffs or if we do some regular season stuff, I think we could see maybe some flashes of what
you think
it'll
be a 520 Club.
Absolutely. Yeah, Reggie Jackson. Yeah, also Reggie Jackson. It'll be a good time. Man, I just straight up miss basketball right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it was like hurting this week.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be playoffs.
Supposed to be playoffs. A friend just sent me a Westbrook dancing video.
Yeah.
And it's even the little things. it's like the little things that you hang on to. It's like, oh man.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I'm really missing this right now.
Man, I wish I wish I could. You're wishing you. You're like, I wish I could dance with Westbrook right now. This is going to bleed a little bit into shavings. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking The Last Dance, how that would maybe do with some Clippers type stuff.
Hey.
Doc needs an assistant coach. And then off-season content generation attempts by ESPN and the league as a whole right after this. Okay, so what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The NBA 2K thing and the horse thing, giant flops, right?
I don't know. You were pretty excited about the 2K thing. I feel like people were pretty pumped.
But only because I had two players from my team in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like,
yeah. And there's also so little else to get excited about.
Yeah,
all right.
If you weren't a fan of any of those teams, like...
For me, it was a flop.
Yeah, you don't even know what video games are. And the horse thing, it was like, what is going on? No one likes horse.
Would you have been more down for it if it was a game of skate?
Between professional basketball players?
Yeah.
I don't want to see anyone get injured.
I think it'd be funny.
But like the dunk, I feel like there could be like a dunk contest. You could do dunk. Dunk would be better.
Yeah, that's true. I guess dunk is better.
Or I don't know. I just hope they figure this out.
Yeah.
Soon.
Mainly, yeah. Because inside, horse is not that exciting. If you did horse... like
Watching someone film a horse shot,
mm-hmm.
like, dude.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just like, all right. Paul Pierce was like in a vest for his. But there is some good off-season content coming. The Last Dance premiered this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 268-part documentary on...
on the final season of the
Bulls championship run. It's had me thinking, after the Clippers win the championship,
mm-hmm.
who gets a documentary first?
I'm going to go... I might honestly go Pat Bev, just because I feel like there's maybe... there's an angle there.
I think it's Lou Will.
Oh, Lou Will would be a great one,
too. I think
too.
Lou Will is kind of... I think Lou Will gets marked for number one documentary. Or, like... And I guess I'm kind of, like, assuming that Paul George and Kawhi...
My thing is like, Kawhi...
Kawhi doesn't want one.
Doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Doesn't really
I don't
want
think Paul
probing,
George really
probing
does.
Around his personal
his
life.
His personal life. Yeah, or his history. Yeah. And I don't think Paul George really wants it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think maybe Lou. And Lou, I think, would be like, this is cool.
Lou's a good one, yeah. I think Pat would be up there just because his story. I mean, like, that's the kind of documentary people want.
For sure.
People are trying to see.
One of those Zubats burner accounts will probably get, like, a GoFundMe going after this episode to get a Zubats biopic in the works, which I would watch and donate to. I got $6 on that. I was also thinking how funny it would be. I like thinking that there's someone out there who just, like, doesn't know any of the bad stuff about Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just, like, think Michael Jordan's, like...
He's perfect.
Yeah, like, they're like, no,
he's never done wrong.
Michael. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? Gambling problem? I don't think he's ever gambled in his life.
Generous.
Yeah. No, I'm psyched for that documentary. It's 10 hours, like, look, I love basketball. I also love documentaries. I don't know if I can sit for the 10-hour... I'm glad it's being released, you know what I mean? Like...
You know, I think it'll be cool to have such an in-depth look at it because I was so much younger at the time.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of cool to have like a.
Man, you should have been a different age. What were you doing back
I know.
Then?
Why?
Idiot.
Why
we're
am
so
I such an idiot?
We're so stupid.
Why am I such an idiot?
We should have been 30 back then, dude. God damn it.
I should have been a beat writer in Chicago.
So stupid. So I should have been the mascot. So stupid.
But so I think that that's cool. Like looking at it through, I don't know, your adult eyes plus with like an analytical look at it is cool. My thing in general is documentaries are too long.
Always.
I never finish them.
This thing's 10 hours? How long is the cut?
Hoop Dreams is 3 hours. All right? Is it going to be better than Hoop Dreams?
Probably not. Hoop Dreams is great. The 30 for 30 documentary is going to be great.
On the Clippers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... So when the Clippers win a championship, that, because there's going to be a documentary about the whole, like, history, like, once, like, that cherry is on top of that.
Well, you're 30 for 30 if it's episodic. You want 3 episodes dedicated to the doubleheader of the
No,
of the
so look,
Knicks.
If you're looking at regular season games or stretches that have had an impact, yes, those deserve 4.5 hours
the
of
nooner.
Content. Yeah, it's called What If I Told You? all right, so... And then, so the NBA is raising money for first responders and food.
Great.
Donate to it. I believe it's NBA Cares. One of the things you can get, Doc gets, like, you can be, like, a Doc's assistant coach.
Yeah.
You get tickets. You get to help with the game plan. You get to sit in on the presser. This seems fun.
Do you... Yeah, that's fair. How much input do you get?
Like, also, what's my guess is
what's
not.
What's Doc's response to your input?
That's pretty good. And then just a completely different thing. I would love it if this person just like it's like a real like tense game and he's like, wait, I did win, so I feel like I do get a say.
I'd just like to see somebody like loosening up their tie on the
what if they just lose it on the ref? They're like, wait, no, I can take the bullet on this one.
Like, just tapping Zoo on the shoulder in the fourth quarter. And
yeah, giving him.
And Doc is just like,
yeah.
Giving him the cut it off.
Oh, man, I hope this guy, I hope this person really advocates to play Zoo in the fourth.
That's what I'm saying. That's their whole platform.
Should one of us ask him in the pregame presser? Because they're going to be at the pregame presser and be like, do you have any thoughts on Zoo in the fourth?
Yeah, I'm sure they would love that.
That'd be a good time. You know, right after the break, everyone's really excited to come back. They want a good gag. I did say that you were going to ask them a line question.
Oh, yeah.
Just a classic inside joke that some people would maybe remember, but that person would definitely not be in on. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Pino? Oh, man. Anything else in the shavings drawer?
Nah, the shavings drawer, it's getting a little... We're getting down in there, which I like. I feel like we're organizing it.
Yeah, this is the – yeah. I hope Shamit and his dog are doing well.
Yeah, definitely.
Hope that's a good time. Thank you so much for hanging out. Hope everyone had a great week. And hope everyone has a good 420.
Yeah.
Hope you're washing your hands. Hope you're staying inside.
Stay home. Stay safe.
Order Postmates. Wednesday's episode.
Definitely be there within an hour.
Wednesday's episode. We're going to be looking at the best scoring performances of the year from the Los Angeles Clippers.
That is correct.
There's a lot to choose from. Twitter Tuesday, so send in your questions at Locked On Clips on Tuesday. I'll put the thing out. There might be a poll question too.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what's going on. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us on Spotify, Deezer, iTunes. Please rate, subscribe. If you're listening, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you'd like to see more of. Also, if we missed a series that you enjoyed throughout the season, let us know on Twitter.
Yeah. You can also email us shavings.podcast@gmail.com.
Or go ahead and give us a good old-fashioned phone call. What's that number, Chuck?
213-986-7354. Yeah, hope everyone enjoys The Last Dance. I am positive Chuck Mockler.
Do you think that they play The Dance by Garth Brooks in that documentary?
Absolutely.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.